Well, again, it's a pleasure to be with you this morning as we celebrate this wonderful day, Festival of the Church. It's known as the birthday of the church because it is the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples. Now, what does that have to do with us? Well, it's pretty much what we've heard in the gospel this day. It is the understanding that the advocate, who Jesus makes reference to as the Holy Spirit, is one that will come and help us to do what's necessary. Now, I don't know how many of you are comfortable about talking about your faith. Are there any of you? Anybody comfortable? A few? My guess is that a lot of us are not. Part of that is our upbringing. Part of that depends upon where your background comes from. If you come from a rather pietistical Lutheran background, it was a very personal, private thing. And while that is good and that there is many things about piety that is good to have and to be a part of, sometimes we as Lutherans have not always been as good about proclaiming the word as we are in receiving it. And what I want to say to you today is that you have the very gifts in which the disciples received as well. And that is you have the Holy Spirit within you. From the moment that you were baptized to the present moment, the Spirit has been guiding us and leading us individually and as a community together. Now, that's not always easy to be able to put our finger on because we really can't see the Holy Spirit. You know, one of the things is kind of like trying to jar air. You know, you could take a big bell jar and, you know, put some air in there and you screw it, but you can't tell if you got any, right? You just assume it's in there. All right, but you can't feel it, you can't taste it, but you know air is present because we're living, we can breathe it, and we can hear it when we're outside and we hear the leaves rustling or we feel it up against our chins or rustles through our hair. We have that sense that air is very much present in our life. Well, so too with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to say to you, as with the disciples, you know, after Jesus ascended, for 10 days they went back to Jerusalem as they were directed, and they prayed. They did nothing else but pray. They prayed for this advocate, this Holy Spirit, to come and to move them. Of course, I don't know that they really understood exactly what it was that they were praying for, but when it happened, I can only imagine their surprise and fear that struck them at that moment. You know, the idea of a violent wind rushing through the room in which they were gathered would be terrifying enough. But then to look up and to see these tongues of fire dancing on the heads of all the believers and then each and every person speaking in their own language and yet we're able to understand. Now, when you come into church, there's a bit of a garbled, I don't know what you would call it, a garbled noise as people are talking. And you may be able to pick out some things, but you can't hear it. I want to just try an experiment for a few moments. It's kind of a silly one, but it's one that can give us a little bit of an impression. I want you to say your full name. We're going to say it 5 times in a row. And I'm going to ask Josh to cut out my microphone so that my voice is at the same level as yours. And we're going to do this all together, and I want you to hear what you're hearing. What you're going to hear is a garbled mess. Okay? Are we ready? Josh, if you cut my... Did you understand that? Just yourself, yeah. But could you imagine if we had the ability to hear what each person was saying, and you knew what they were saying, because I told you what to say, unless you decided you were going to just be a rebel and say something else. You are all saying your names. And in the case of that first day of Pentecost, they were all proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord in their own way. You and I each have our significant way in which we are able to proclaim that. Now, some of us may be a little more bold to profess our faith. For those of us who are maybe educated, it might be expected that pastors should be pretty comfortable about sharing their faith. In most cases, I say yes, but there are moments that one gets a little shy and bashful. Pastor Dave gets shy. Well, yeah, he does at times. And then there are moments in which God just brings us to the right place at the right time, and suddenly the words just pour out of our mouth, and we think, where does that come from? That's the Spirit that leads us. It's the Spirit that unifies us. It's the Spirit that helps us to overcome obstacles and worries and fears. It helps us to be able to cope with our grief as we struggle with the loss of loved ones or the uncertainty in life when we lose our jobs or we find we're suddenly all by ourselves because our families have moved on. Our children are out of the home and they are starting their own life. In all these ways, the Spirit is there to move us. You know, being a Christian is not something that's stationary. It is not something that we can just sit still. I don't know how we can with the Spirit being a part of us, because the Spirit is what really causes us to kind of get stirred up and to want to share. You know, we each and every one of us, if you have a specialty in your life that you enjoy, whether it's sports, so let's say if you're a Lions or a Tigers fan, you're more than happy to talk about that, is my guess, right? You'll go and, you know, at work or, you know, wherever it is, you may email and say, way to go, Tigers, you know, and in Pittsburgh lingo, we say, raise the flag, raise it, buckos, and that's the way, you know, we talk about how the Pirates did. For those of you who have other interests, whether it's in a particular talent or gift that you have, say you have an ability for accounting and you like to really play with those numbers and things, and you might find that there's an equation that really strikes you, and suddenly you're talking to your accounting buddies or whoever, and you're excited about it. We have no qualms with doing that. We have no qualms with saying, hey, where'd you get that great recipe for that apple pie? I want one of those. Now, I could get the recipe for the apple pie, but I don't know if I can make it just like you can. But that's where the Spirit brings us together. It's the Spirit that helps us to lift up the gifts that we have and help us to proclaim that we are St. Luke's Lutheran Church, that we are Christians who love God and we proclaim God wherever it is that we go. Now remember, these ordinary individuals that we call disciples who are no different than us. In fact, they're at a disadvantage because they don't have a clue what's going to happen. We've already read the story. We know what happens, and yet here we are, sometimes filled with doubts. You know, how is the Christian church going to survive? Why is it that the Lutheran church isn't growing? Why aren't we doing these things? And I'm sure the disciples had the same struggles in their own time. Number one, for fear of their lives. Secondly, what are they going to do without their leader, Jesus, who says he's leaving? Now, this gospel reading that we have comes prior to his resurrection. This is during he's preparing them for his arrest and his crucifixion. And they already had these thoughts about what things were going to be, and Jesus is just shaking that down to the point that they don't know what's up. They thought there was going to be a new king, a new kingdom. Israel would be restored. Jesus was going to be their general and lead them on to victory. Rah, rah. But that's not what happened. And so now Jesus leaves them. And what do? They go back and pray, and there's doubts, and there's all the kinds of things that you and I feel at moments of uncertainty, when change happens, when there's a shift in leadership, when there are things that cause us to be to question, and we wonder, what is it that we are to do? They have the same questions. And Jesus said to them that unless I leave, you cannot receive this gift. And I love the word that he uses for the Spirit, the advocate, because it comes as a form of a helper. It's one who gives us and speaks for us in moments in which we find ourselves perhaps maybe mute, where we cannot find the words. It's kind of like when you try to approach somebody to console them, because sometimes, you know, all we can think of are those cliches, and you don't really want to say that, you know, again, and you want to say something meaningful. And you know that the Spirit speaks to us even when we don't speak, that it's okay sometimes not even to say anything. For the person who is grieving, perhaps maybe the best thing we can do is just simply put our arms around them and just let them know that they are not alone. No words need to be spoken because the Spirit speaks for us. The love of God is present in that moment. And so the same thing is said of us today. What lies down the road? What do we see around the corner? What's going to happen tomorrow or the next day? And we have all these questions. We wonder what's going to happen. You have a new senior pastor, and how did the call committee ever come up with this guy? And as you've heard us speak before in that time of that forum and saying that, you know, all through this, and I think if you talk to them, as you talk to me, it was certainly an understanding that the Spirit was present the whole time. It's amazing how the Spirit can do things that seem like obstacles, that seem like mountains, and yet suddenly it all gets leveled out. And before you know it, all this worry and this how are we going to do this? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, going from Pennsylvania to Michigan, you know, what's this world like over here? It's you know, I grew up in Pennsylvania with around the Appalachian Mountains, and here I come out to the flatlands of Michigan and meeting different people and learning about where you go and where not to go, and heading north is a terrible thing to do on the weekend, because everybody's going north. And you worry about all that stuff, but you know what? It all works out. And I am a firm believer that indeed the Spirit has brought us together. Just as I believe in the congregation in whom I have been called to for 9 years, that they too have been affected and impacted by the Spirit, because they too will see the changes and the good things that will come in time. And so now we move ahead. And what I say to you today is that you have the gifts. God has equipped you, each of you, in your own way. And the ability that we have is that we can proclaim the love of God to our friends and to even strangers. Now, that doesn't mean that you go out and you knock on doors, but it might mean that you actually draw up the courage to talk to your family members who perhaps aren't really involved in church. And do it in a way where it is an understanding. It's not something where you're just kind of like a bull in a china shop and you go, hey, do you believe in Jesus? If you don't, you know, you got something going on here you need to know about. That's part of the problem with individuals who kind of, and back in the 70s, it was a big thing in my area where I was growing up, where people out of nowhere would come up to you and say, are you saved? And I would stumble around for words, and, you know, I wanted to say, did you find Jesus? And I really wanted to say, I didn't know he was lost. But the feeling I got was that they weren't really interested in me. They were interested in being able to claim one more victory for Christ. The idea of sharing and having the Spirit work with us is that we will take the time to know our neighbor, to be able to take the time to know our family member, to take the time to see the look of lostness in someone's eyes when they seem like they're in that, you know, the deer in the headlight kind of a look that says, I don't know what's up. That we take the time. That's part of our problem, is that we're in such a hurry today. And yet the Spirit will help us at the moments that we need to be there. Without it, we're not very good at what we can do, but with the Spirit, all things are possible. So I give thanks to God for this opportunity to be here and to be a witness for the Spirit, to say it does indeed work and it is active in the church and in the community. The church is not dead by any means. The church is alive, and we are filled with many, 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 many blessings, and that we have much to give thanks for and much to look forward to as God leads us in this pilgrimage together, that we overcome boundaries that have separated us, that we overcome those things that cause division among us, that we overcome the sense of shyness when it comes to sharing the love of God. Because by darn, Jesus loves me, this I know, just as you know. Let's go and share it. It's as simple as that. May God bless you all with the gift of His Spirit. May you know of His love and of the victory in which He has held for us over the cross, over death, that he lives again, and that you and I have the promise of eternal life, and that we need not worry about what will happen to us because God will care for us and keep us in his grace. Amen.